This is the X&C Podcast, your Xbox newscast, featuring Cold Eastwood and Gaz, hosting industry interviews and gaming talk live on YouTube every Monday night at 5 p.m. on the West Coast, 8 p.m. on the East Coast. For all of you listening around the world, X&C Podcast is available on demand on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Welcome to the show. Join the chat, hit the like button, and let's get into this week's topics with the Xbox newscast.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
How's everybody doing? I'm Cold Eastwood. I'm here with my co-host, Gaz.
Hi.
That was the least professional intro. We're so glad to have you. Welcome, everybody, to the show. This is episode 70, and we're broadcasting live on the Cold Eastwood channel on the dulcet evenings here in Washington State and across the world. Gaz, how are you doing?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. I feel like I need to masturbate. Ah! Hi, everyone. Welcome to X&C, the family show, former family show, where we keep it real. I'll keep it clean, happy bomb, before you slap me across the head.
I'm not still echoing, am I, chat? I mean, Gaza and I wouldn't hear it, but I don't know. We'll get it figured out. That would be a new problem. You know, new technical difficulties rolling in as we're here on the show with the Cold Eastwood Show with Gaz. No, but we're really excited to be here. We've got a lot to talk about, and a lot of stuff broke, as it does, late in the week, last week, but we will talk about it. Let me give a shout-out to... let me first start by saying... Thanks to my producer, I've got the X&C Xbox Club set up, and there's about 20, 22 members where we can just get on party chat and play games like Fortnite or Halo Infinite, or just sit in a party chat and chill. And Gaz, the funny thing about these, which you haven't been able to be on because it's like super early in the morning for you, but it kind of turns into this mini off-the-air podcast where we start discussing all the news of what's going on, giving our like conspiracy theories about what's going on with Xbox and PlayStation. Like, you've been there for those type of things, right?
Yeah, I hate it. That's what you want to do, right? It looks like after you've done a podcast, you go in and the members of the community, and they all expect you to carry on with the podcast.
It'd be like if I got to go to dinner with a musician I really like, and I'm like, hey, I brought this guitar. Can you play some stuff while I have my ravioli? No, but you know, I hang out with the RDX guys and the Xbox 2 people. Reconnection successful. I had a little disconnect there. I'm going to make sure that we're still live. I don't know how that happens, but I'm assuming you saw like a little thing like this.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
We're back.
We'll find out in like 10 seconds if we're back, and hopefully everything's running smoothly. A glitch in the Matrix. So shout out to OBS for actually fixing itself. That's very cool. What was I saying? I was just saying the channel members. Let me read these through and we'll get started. Matt Burns, William Lanza, Nano Polymath, Udonna Kazada, Robert Ford, Lord Starkiller, Dante Moody, Betamax, Dark CMF, Gaz, Fox Storytelling, Wreak Havocs, Fault Lines, Zener White, Devario 2 Gaming, DeBlue, Poochie, Remix Gaming, V Simco, Assassin, Raymond G, Dub, Larry Thatcher, Hargeet Chani, TK Chillin, Raiden Blade, Acute Perspective, True 77, Risk It for the Biscuit, who's also in the chat, and Widya Santasso. Gaz, those people, I haven't played games with them, but I want to know, what have you been playing? You've been playing a lot of stuff lately.
I've been playing random things again. I said I was going to stick to one game, but I can't do it. Thank you, quick resume. Although, you're going to love this chat. Key demographic here. PlayStation games, yeah! I've been playing COD Modern Warfare Beta. I've been playing the hell out of it before it goes maxed out level and that. But I really miss it already. I know people are like, about it. I really like Call of Duty. Yes, there are some concerns, but generally I'm very excited. David Jaffe was excited about COD. I was like, oh, yeah, what? I didn't know he was a big multiplayer guy. That's really good. So me and him are going to play the game together. Launch day. Join us. It'll be fun. There'll be a lot of expletives. So there's that. I've been playing Spider-Man 2018. Finally, and I've realized how overrated that game is. Yes, it's overrated as hell. I haven't completed it. But Ghost of Tsushima, on the other hand, underrated. 83 Metacritic for Ghost of Tsushima.
Tsushima's what? The... Yeah, it's a bomb. What? Tsushima's wait, good.
What
yeah.
is Spider-Man 2018 Metacritic? I want to see this.
I already know. It's an 85. It's kind of it's 85.
It's 87. Maybe it's an 87.
Oh, yeah.
That's where Ghost should be, and that should be an 83. Well, I haven't completed it. But,
I played all of Tsushima, yeah. and I can't see why it would be lower than... they're both beautiful. It's, I don't know.
There's more soul in Ghosts, even though they're both very derivative. There are checklist kind of games. Like, I see that with Spider-Man, chase pigeons. Or here's a trillion icons again.
Wait a minute. What, you've been playing nothing but PlayStation games. You got the Call of Duty beta, which was on PlayStation. You're playing Spider-Man. You're playing Ghost of Tsushima. You're playing... What else?
Xbox as well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I've been playing Hellsinger, Devil Hellsinger, which is kind of cool. I started to get into it. Once you have to calibrate, the calibrations are a bit iffy. I think that there are 90% of people will get that wrong unless you stick with it. But I've been playing that. I've been playing everything. A lot of PlayStation games. And yeah, like, we could talk about it. We could talk about stuff because they lead into some other topics, I am sure. I've also been playing Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah, so I went really far, almost completed on PC, and then just kind of lost my favor with it. And then, you know what? I said, everyone is talking about it now. I'll tell you why. Just like everyone else, I'm a sucker. Cyberpunk Edgerunners is amazing. The anime is so good. One of the most highly rated animes on... highly rated anything on Netflix, by the way. The most thumbed up liked thing, and I completely understand. And that, like a lot of people, has got me into Cyberpunk, like seeing record numbers of like resurgence. It saved the game. Really, it has. So I'm back to play Cyberpunk on my Xbox just to see if, you know, is it that bad? And
let's talk about what happened, because, you know, people are saying that the Edgerunners anime re-insurged people to play the game. I think I made a word up, re-insurged. But people are excited to play it, but also CD Projekt Red has done like a bunch of different patches, and finally they got like the real patch. It should have been how the game launched. But what I am showing here today that will be running during the show while we talk about other stuff as well, I've got three different games I want to show today that'll be on the show. But what you're looking at is basically, well, this is all of the launch footage of Cyberpunk. And I'm looking at this replay, which is, it almost looks like it's running at 60 here. It chugs a little bit, but I always kind of sat back last year, Gaz, and I thought people were complaining. I'm like, you know, this game doesn't blow your mind. It doesn't break ground, but it's just a good, enjoyable game, and it's kind of addictive. And people wouldn't touch it because they thought it just wasn't up to standards, and it wasn't. But, you know, people like Fonz and I just kept playing it because we were really liking it. And so what I want you guys to keep an eye on while you watch the gameplay is this is the launch version on the Xbox Series X. It's Gen 9 aware, which means it's really only made to run on the Xbox One and Xbox One X. But because of the hardware raw on the Series X, it just gets a little bit better performance just right out of the – just from the circuitry just firing and doing its thing. But, Gaz, you played it on PC and Xbox at launch and ditched it.
Mm-hmm. I ditched it only because, one, the inevitable promise of what was an unfinished game, really. That's the impression a lot of people got, still have, about a lot of things, because there was this promise of, we will fix this. So I'm like, am I playing, almost felt like an early beta of the game, because it was such a mess. Even on PC, there were lots of problems. There were so many issues, so many starfish people walking around. I had one bug. I think that was where I I said, like, I progressed far in the story, and the core story has incredibly well-realized characters that you feel something well-voiced, really well, like, felt something, I mean, without spoilers. But then, I play the game, and then there are a few things. Look, I saw Paris say this. I said, this is the cyberpunk game we all wanted. No, it's not. Wrong. That's just wrong. Don't speak for everyone. For one, Paris, I keep coming at you, but, well, you're in this space. I'll slap your bald head. No, please don't hurt me. But there's a point to be made. How many times I have to
say, Paris could just squeeze your head and it'll pop off into the sky. But he's too nice.
He has to catch me first. But it's not the game we all wanted, because the game we wanted was the game we were promised, and Cyberpunk is still not that game. Please do not fool yourself into thinking that. But that doesn't mean that the game itself is bad, because beneath all those promises of what Cyberpunk should have been, it's still an extremely competent RPG that is set in the cyberpunk world that still has problems even in its own right. So when you be critical about these things and peel away yourself from the senile gamers and the yellow chair gang, you will come back and think, okay, this is a beautiful looking game, but there are fundamental issues. If you take away what Cyberpunk was promised and the choices and all of that.
Yeah. Let me
combat.
I want the chat to also pipe up about what the are you looking at the footage? Everyone's like, oh, it's Pan Am. I was more of a Johnny Silverhand guy myself, but some of the problems with Cyberpunk, you drive out and there's no traffic on the freeway. The pedestrians look really flat shaded and really weird. The game just didn't break any ground, but it was just really good. And the shooting's a little slippery. I want to hear from the chat, like right in the chat, what you thought of the game, because I really feel like it didn't. We were expecting like this transformative experience from CD Projekt Red, the way that Witcher just took you into the world. And this one just really felt like a Gen 8 game in Gen 9 made for Gen, or Gen 8 for Gen 9 or whatever. I hate to say that because people get mad, but it isn't a 360 game, because 360 games didn't look like this, but in its core skeletal structure, it just kind of does a lot of what we saw in open world sandbox games. It doesn't break any, envelopes, but, I really did enjoy it.
It was supposed to be. It was there. I was at the press events. I saw what they talked about. All the player choices, that means nothing. They were supposed to be.
What did the press say when they saw that behind the closed door thing, guys? Do you remember?
Yeah, oh, man. They were talking about how, and specifically, I was there in front of them. The devs were there. They were talking about it to the press event, saying, and this was public anyway, but it was talking about the player choice. They kept going on about how these divergent strands would change. You make this choice, this will be I'm like, how could they make such a big game with so many different choices? It's like, you could never complete this game, and 80% of the choices don't make any difference, really. And it's obvious, but even in the basics, look at the game world and the NPCs and the dialogue options and, you know, or the live voice lines that come out. They just walk around. It seems like the illusion is thinly veiled. Like, you want to be sucked into, like, there's a very marked difference between CDP Projekt Red's open world and Rockstar's open world. Completely different. Like, and that's a game that came out two gens ago. That's completely different. There are other problems as well. Like, the execution of it wasn't great. Cyberpunk Edgerunners, for instance, let's make this contrast of why that's good. In Cyberpunk, without offering spoilers, it's about Cyberpunk, you get these bio upgrades. The whole premise about that is kind of like how society has accepted these upgrades and the dangers behind it, and how, you know, cyberpsychosis is a thing. And just the physical, you know, just augmentation and what that relinquishing your flesh for robotics. In the game, what do? You go into the Ripper dock and menu. And I remember this. I think I switched to ocular implant or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, It's an Excel spreadsheet. Like, you just change the value. Bro, I just changed something in the menu. Face and my eyes and my arms. At least let me see some Quake 4 level Saw cutting me in half. At least some animation, something.
Or even Deus Ex. Deus Ex Mankind Divided and Human Revolution covered this better.
Yeah, it's true. Well, that's a great point. Things like that they were missing. They went to a lot of detail with the incredible game. What the shining thing, and this is what fooled a lot of reviewers. It's the world aesthetically looks beautiful. Like, I stopped to look at Night City during the day and during night, just like in wonder of how nice it was. But the world kept reminding me of how hollow it actually was. I had one bug where NPC was walking and he was literally pissing everywhere. Like, it was just a bug. He was urinating. It was just like he was having a conversation with me, and just stream of water kept coming. I was laughing. I was so much. Like, what is this game?
They had a design in the game that if you're walking down a sidewalk and there was like a dozen people on the sidewalk in front of you and behind you, this was in the design at launch. If you turned around and looked at the pedestrians and turned back around, the ones in front of you would be replaced with new pedestrians. It was like a scrub and refresh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's no longer in there, which breaks immersion. But when I play the game, as much as I love it, it really feels like they were halfway ready. Like, we had the city halfway ready. It's all playable now. Like, you can get in there. You can get in cars. You can go into buildings. You can shoot people, right? That we have some quests. Yeah. That's kind of how it felt to me. Like, this game needed quite a few more years. It's something they worked on for 8 years total.
And obviously this is a management problem. We've talked about this ad nauseum, what actually went wrong, and the management took it ahead. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I'm still excited, despite the fact that to try and fix some of these problems and shortcomings will require systematic change. Whether or not that change is forthcoming, I don't know. But what I do feel from CD Projekt Red, is a real intent to impress everyone. Real intent. They've worked hard to fix the bugs. They've said no to last gen. Thank you. Thank you for having the balls to do that and doing the right move, which will ultimately benefit Cyberpunk. But I just feel like they really are just resolute. Unlike draw comparisons 343, I have more faith in CD Projekt Red getting that right. Whether or not, ultimately, I want Halo to be great, so hopefully 343 can prove me wrong. But yeah, you know, with Edge Runners, the DLC or whatever update, I'm excited. Also, the game story is great in many ways. Please don't, like, people make, you know, aspersions from my critical way or the manner in which I say it, and I'm saying it's a bad game. It's not a bad game. There are many ways it excels. But there are also weaknesses. Like, I'm watching the combat preference or whatnot. It's just really doughy. All these numbers flying through. And it never gelled. There was no cadence to the combat. If you want a review that most, if you care about what people care about, what I think, the review that I think best summarizes this so well is actually Jeff Grubb's review of Cyberpunk. And I remember before the review came out, by the way, he keeps his embargoes quite clean, because even in the background, he wouldn't say anything. He's like, yeah, I played the game. I'm like, Jeff, you like it? And I'm like, no, I'm under embargo. But I could see the twinkle in your eye disappear, Jeff. Jazzy Jeff. Mm-hmm. I knew you weren't disappointed. You didn't say it, but I can read people, and I could read you behind that illustrious hair. Head and Shoulders sponsored. Not Head and Shoulders. That's just that he's got dandruff. No. L'Oreal, that's it. L'Oreal.
When I look at the game, I don't think, gosh, this won't run on an Xbox One or PS4. I don't think that when I look at it. So there must have been something they couldn't get right with their engine and the whole process of porting to 5 or 6 consoles. But I don't know. The one thing that we argued about when the game was releasing was, I think through the delays, was whose fault was it? Was it the devs at CD Projekt Red, or was it their own in-house publishing team and management who said, hey, we've been paying this development studio to make this game. We want our money. And this is a problem we see a lot with game development. This Cyberpunk discussion really bleeds into the rest of the games, and the delays that frustrate us, or the early games that come out broken. that where it feels like the publishers, Gaz, they are the ones that call the shots. They shelled out all that money. They paid them every month salary, or they pay them a lump sum, and it trickles down into the studio. And they say, okay, you got 5 years to make a great game. And CD Projekt Red was taking six or whatever it was. And the publisher's like, look, quarter two, we want ROI. We want return on investment. Release the game. We've seen it. It looks great. We want to start getting money. We can't get paid till those store shelves are full and those digital store shelves are full of the game. And we've seen it with Battlefield 2042. I almost said 2049. That would have been a good movie, right? Battlefield 2042 and Cyberpunk both came out early, broken, unfinished. And instead of the publishers getting all their money, guys, ASAP, they were getting less money. Well, Cyberpunk still sold great, right? But
yeah,
the expectations are not met because the game comes out in a... I mean, look at this footage now of me driving through the daytime. You know, there's three cars on the entire industrial block. But I don't want to talk about Cyberpunk much more than this, but where are you sitting
watch
at it?
The anime.
You're going to start it over?
You know, it's anime. Watch it. Please watch it. It's not even like anime. Well, there are boobies in it. But watch it. I know you'll be like...
All right, chat, let me tell you something. I am super old. I'm 76-some years old. I've never watched anime. I don't think I've ever... I don't even know if I've ever really watched anime. So I have very little... starting point or reference point
culture
for this stuff, but I did watch the first like 10 seconds of Edgerunners and I'm like, it's just so different from what I'm used to watching. I don't know, we'll see.
Listen, if you could sit there and play Grounded, you can play and just watch. I'll fight you for the on this. I don't know, I have any strong feelings against Grounded. I want to play that. I actually really want to play Grounded. I played a very early access, but please, I don't know, maybe you, I don't want to force you to look. But how can you haven't even watched Akira? What? You have no life.
I don't even know.
You haven't seen Samurai. Oh, not Samurai Champloo. That's a bit. What was it? What was I thinking about? Be quiet, Cabo Bebop. You haven't seen that. I mean, everyone thinks it's like anime. See, guys in party chat, these guys make fun of me. Like, oh, you just want anime. And all they think about is, Daskete. No, but it's not like that. It's not beady eyed, like all of that. There's some. Do you know how Matrix got an idea from Ghost in the Shell? Like, do you know how many movies, Western movies, copy anime? Dragon Ball Z chat. Yeah.
Okay, Samurai Champloo is great. Let me say something, because we're not going to talk about anime for 7 minutes, all right? I'm an illustrator. I'm a cartoonist. I've drawn for a long time. I've never been able to animate because I don't know how to do that. I don't have the equipment. Whatever. It's great. When I see anime, I'm like, holy crap. The drawings, the shading, the perspective, the camera angles they use is unbelievable. Just the intro to Edgerunners, and I've seen this. I guess the anime I have watched would be Transformers G1. That was basically anime. It was Japanese animated, and it's really highly produced, especially the movie. But I have total respect for that. But I've grown up, like, even as a little kid. It's not like an old man thing. As a little kid, I'm like, yeah, I don't like that. So... But I will take
it. It's a thing where when you were younger, my parents actually introduced me to anime. Unbeknownst to them, they didn't realize this is quite, it could have gone all wrong. That's why I'm so messed up in the head. As a kid, they because we were in Pakistan, you just get these VHS, you know, little kids won't even know what that VHS is, cassette tapes, and they got me Guyver. Now, if people know what Guyver is, it is violent. It is this. It's actually a lot like, kind of like Cyberpunk, where you forsake your body for an alien specimen, though. And it was violent. And my mom came in once, and she's like, "What the hell is that?" I was like, "Dad got it. It's amazing. Don't stop." And that's how I went into anime.
Then you could hear down the hall. She started beating him. Yeah. Now we know why you turned out the way you did.
Asian parents didn't care. Asian parents don't care. Violence is fine. Just no sex scenes.
Okay.
Then you're good. Is what Asian parents are like? Are your parents like that? Were your parents like that?
What do you mean?
Were they more open to violence?
Oh, no. When I grew up, I missed every 80s and 90s R-rated movie. My parents were like, no, it's R-rated. So they would bring home PG-13 and PG movies. And that's just how I grew up. And then when I got old enough to start watching R-rated movies, I wasn't going to go back and watch Cobra, and I've never seen Predator. It's sorry, but I went back.
Wait, you still? You have seen Predator now.
There's a couple of big. This is not the show, but there's a couple of big R-rated movies in the 80s and 90s that I've missed, but I've caught up on most of them. But speaking of R-rated movies, did you hear that? This is such a change of subject. Did you guys hear that Disney wants to put out a new Star Wars related video game every 6 months going forward?
I almost made a video on this. But because I'm not a Star Wars nerd like Safe, and I'm trying to get Safe to make the video on this, but his reaction was very negative. Before I talk, because you might be thinking, who the f*** this guy keeps talking about anime and movies and shit. Oh, sorry, bad word. What do you think about this, Colt?
What, you're asking me what I think about the Disney thing?
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me talk on my show. No, I'm just kidding. I freaking love doing the show with you, man. It's so fun. So my very first instinct, and I want to see what the chat reacts to this, but so I'm like, Disney, are you sure? Because you're making like 9 Star Wars TV shows on Disney Plus at once. Mm-hmm. There's already a lot of Disney. There's always already a lot of Star Wars games in the works. We got Jedi Survivor. Is it Fallen Survivor? Yeah. We've got Jedi. I was talking to Randall Thor today, and he was like rattling them off, and I'm like, I couldn't even remember all of these Star Wars. Really? Oh, you got KOTOR. You've got some other Star Wars game that's smaller. I can't remember that's in the works. And I already feel like movie wise, with the 6 features they made, and then all these TV shows, I'm like, are we getting over Star Wars, Gaz? That's where I'm feeling. I want to hear your take on it.
Look, chat. You can come at me for all you want, but I am an observer who liked Star Wars. There was this moment, my uncle, I haven't seen it in years now, when the episode 1, the new ones, but the older ones, episode 1, when Luke Skywalker, Anakin Skywalker, the little kid, Pod Racer, the little weird thing in Jar Jar Blinks, mm-hmm. That one. That was a moment for me, and I loved all the older originals, and they were great, but let's be real. Star Wars is embarrassing compared to its legacy. If you think Halo Infinite was bad, that Star Wars equivalence is quite bad. Like these movies, I just watched them. I genuinely watched them, like not through Star Wars nerddom because I've lack of knowledge, but mm-hmm. I'm just like, these are terrible. Mandalorian was good. Mandalorian, yeah. I was really hooked on. Really hooked on.
I thought most of Book of Boba Fett was pretty good.
Watch that. I heard very mixed things about Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, I mean, it ended amazing because Mandalorian, but I think they're doing a good job with this stuff, but
Star Wars fans hate it. Star Wars fans are really like, you're destroying the legacy. Am I right, chat, or am I wrong? Like, I may be wrong, but you know, like it's a shadow of its former self. Like even the pod racing, even with Jar Jar Blinks, that was still better than all the Jar Jar Binks or Blinks, whatever his name was.
Oh, I would love to take the prequels and edit them down to one movie because there's so much fluff in Phantom Menace, and then half of the Attack of the Clones. I really like half of that movie, but I don't know.
I like the last one.
As far as video games,
like,
where's the love for Lord of the Rings, guys? Like, why isn't Lord of the Rings getting like extra treatment in video games? We don't even really get much of that anymore.
Well, you might get a lot more of that now that the IP has been bought by the Embracer Group, if I'm correct.
Yes.
They bought, yeah. And you expect them to get their money's worth because they get a whole lot, not just movies, not just games, but movies and some other stuff. So you will see a lot more Lord of the Rings. It'll take time, but that's where the cash cow is. So expect to see very similar kind of thing, by the way, with the Disney thing. The problem is, like, oversaturation of these things is not going to deliver on quality. We've seen this time and time again. Microsoft, being as bold as they are, making the right step with Call of Duty, said biannual releases of Call of Duty or whatever, we're not going to make it. Why? Because they want to ensure the quality of this IP, they're the best it gets. Star Wars and Disney, what they seem to be doing is just like shotgun approach, blast everything. Like, let's get all multitude of TV shows. There's a wide expanse of universe, great, but the quality hasn't been consistent. So expect the same thing with the games. You're going to get, I imagine, mostly passable games and a couple of gems. And like Amy Hennig's, Well, you know, few people will really take the IP seriously with the respect it deserves. You'll see a couple of those games really good out. I mean, I like to be positive, but I like to be a little bit realistic. Chat, surely you agree with me that Star Wars, generally, all these IPs, when you see these things, are you like, yes, six amazing Star Wars games? Or are you thinking, let's see which ones bang, which one hit?
Yeah, two per year. My immediate thought after the, are you milking the franchise is, are one of those will be small, like really small, like maybe one will be mobile and the next one will be medium or large size. And then I just kind of leave it at that because we really can't really read into it more than that other than give our opinion on whether we think that's going to be trash or not. But you did bring up Tencent. And recently we found out that Sean Layden, who really spoke up about consolidation in the industry and how bad it is. And I have two sides to this rapport here, but Sean Layden says that, you know, consolidation is bad for the industry. And then he leaves or is kind of pushed out of PlayStation. And now he's working for Tencent, who is the consolidation masters. So
the enemy. Well, the Western enemy anyway. Absolutely.
I'm kind of this or that with this thing, guys. But Phil Spencer's like, hey, congratulations, Sean. Can't wait to see what you guys make.
I was quite surprised by that. But not surprised. Phil Spencer's a lovely, classy man. Of course, Sean Layden. I haven't met Phil. Just my impression of the person is very nice based on whatever caricature he plays on camera. No, you can tell, man, the guy's lovely. He never swears. Never trust a guy who never swears. But he seems really nice. And Sean Layden is also a character, like, he seems really nice.
Yeah, like them both, and, yeah.
Yeah, and I did a quick article summarizing this thing on Game On Daily, and what I said was that I was surprised that Sean Layden has taken this job because one, he's publicly very like in his Twitter feed, he's very humanitarian, he's very outspoken on key issues. How you reconcile that with Tencent that is primarily in bed, arguably this is the argument with the CCP, with the Chinese Communist Party and the government, they have helped them. A lot of people see Tencent as an arm of the Chinese government and, you know, how China operates. Look at what they're doing with the Uyghurs and stuff. I won't make it a political podcast, but this is the West. So, again, objectively, like, are we just being fed propaganda? Is it real? Who knows? But you have to think about these things. So how do you reconcile? Sean must, in his mind, constantly think about this, his role, responsibility, whether or not this is bad. But the second point, the less political point, is this point on consolidation. I'll say this. I like Sean. I really like Sean, but he's a pony. He is a pony. And if anyone can be a pony, it is Sean. By pony, I mean PlayStation fanboy, because of course he bled it. Like Aaron Greenberg, he's an Xbox. Sean Layden is a pony. But Sean Layden obviously did a lot. He was big. He was former president and CEO of SIEA. And, he said this, and I quote, I don't know, I had a brain freeze there. During the time, we have also seen more consolidation. Consolidation is the enemy of diversity in some ways. It takes a lot of playing pieces off the table as they grow into larger conglomerates. And again, we end up with this problem with diversity. Can that be applied to Tencent, which has so many pieces of the pie that it has taken for itself, except it's multiplat? So maybe there's argument there. There's wiggle room there. But consolidation and Tencent, those two words go like this. It's weird. And then this other thing, it sounds so, I don't know if it's just marketing speak, but it sounds like he's like some big moves. Like he's saying, we are at an epoch-defining moment in gaming and interactive entertainment. There are many possible roads, but only a few are as profound, broadening, inclusive, edifying, and inspiring, or sustainable. All of this sometimes seems like, do you know you're working for Tencent? Yeah, but at the same time,
I have a different angle on this. When he says, oh, by the way, I should say there will be a couple spots here where Gaz and I will kind of play the good cop, bad cop.
I didn't pre-plan this, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, not by any admission of Gaz's, you know, against his will sometimes. But as far as when I think about Tencent, all the stuff that you said before, we have to remember that when Tencent buys a studio, their games come to everybody. They don't have a platform where you can't play their game other places. So if they buy a Lord of the Rings IP and they want to make a Lord of the Rings game, you can sit back as an Xbox fan or a PlayStation fan and say, I hope the game's great because I'm going to play it on my console because it'll be there. It'll be on mobile. It'll be on console or whatever the game is. It's different than if Xbox buys the Lord of the Rings IP, which we're going to talk about in a minute. In fact, before we do, let me give you guys a heads up, because we started by talking about anime and cyberpunk, and I want to give you an idea of what we're talking about today. As you stick, thanks for being here, over 500 people here. We're going to talk about E3, the announcement for E3 coming up, and where that what that means for Xbox. We're going to talk about two of their new exclusives, another rumored one that's coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about what Satya said last week, but not for super long. And we're going to talk about Phil looking at franchises, which kind of folds into what we're talking about now. And so we'll get into that in just a moment. But this Tencent thing with Sean Layden means that these games will be for everyone. I don't know. It sounds kind of weird when I say it that way, right, guys? But They're not building a console that we know of where they're just going to take all these IPs and franchises. Like they bought the Square Enix Western Studios, right? Like Tomb Raider and Lord of the Rings. Like, I don't think there's going to be a TV top box where they're going to hide games from everybody else.
I don't know about that. I think there's also value in hardware. And yes, the metaverse push means a lot more than just base hardware. But Tencent is a behemoth. One of these guys will step into the hardware space, and one of those people will buy Sony eventually. I am sure of it. And they will run autonomously, and Sony will, mm-hmm. PlayStation will have the bankroll of billions finally through ownership. But I don't know. What I can't say this? Tencent. Oh, the question of Tencent is, what's the long-term plan? Why?
I have one super lame, I don't know if I can use that word. I have one weird conspiracy of what this is. Maybe they hired Sean Layden, and because Phil kind of piped up, excited to see what you're going to do. Maybe Sean Layden's job is to help build and cultivate this greater worldwide thing that will become the metaverse. And maybe we don't know what that is exactly, but maybe the big conglomerates in the games industry have an idea. You know, maybe Sean's job is to help build a massive game like you would see in Fortnite, where it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. It's on any platform you want to play a game. And everyone comes in and they're all working together to play in a big world. And we talked about how amazing would it be where you go into a game and you can buy things to make yourself look just how you want, whether tied to another franchise. Like, I want to be a Marvel this or a Star Wars that, or I want to look like John Wick in my game, or I want my character to look just like me. And you pay for these things and you're in this world and you do things in this world. Like, you go to an area where Battle Royale is, you go to an area where there's PvP or PvE, or you go to a world where you go in and co-op quests, and this world just all interconnected. Like, take what you did in WoW in the early 2000s and explode it into like a genre blending thing, which could be metaverse. Who knows? But we don't know what the future holds, but maybe that's like Ready Player One. And we're not that far off from where you go into a game, your online you, and you flaunt it, you dance, and you go, I like the wiggle wiggle, or whatever it is, right?
Maybe do that in Fortnite. We spend money, actual money, to literally sing Cream on Fortnite, which is weird.
And like, that game really only does one or two things. But even that, like, gives you just a little window into the next big thing. Let's talk about the next big event. And everyone said E3 was dead, Gaz. They swore it. They were like, PlayStation backed out. So E3's done and over with. The E3, the expo team, I forgot what they're called, the conglomerate said, we're back. They have dates. Let me read them to you guys, and then we're going to talk about E3. That says, quote, E3 2023 runs from June 13th through June 16th with, quote, partner digital events and showcases kicking off on June 11th. June 11th would be Sunday, which always and will be the Xbox showcase Sunday morning on June 11th. Then they have 2 days following that on the 12th and 13th for industry people, like Gaz, for media people to go in and see the stuff without those smelly armpits and all that stuff, and all the people dressed up like Pokemon and whatnot and so forth. And then the 15th and 16th, which would be Wednesday and Thursday, is open to everyone at the convention center. So you can bet that Nintendo will have their big wing that they cover all their stuff with invite only access and all the other stuff. And all the other publishers will have all their different booths, and probably not PlayStation. So, Gaz, you heard this news this morning for you or whatever it was. Yeah, what do you think?
I was very happy. Very happy. Very happy. I was just like, yes, we kind of knew. Well, we knew it was coming back, but this is like, the statement is clear. It's obvious. We've got fixed dates. I can finally plan. Finally plan date. Do I get to finally meet you, Cole Eastwood? Can you imagine? The world would not be the same. Just tell your wife, listen, for this week, I am Gaz's. I'm sorry. We're going to get that.
We are a common law husbands or something. Yeah, it'll be amazing. Hey, let me read a couple supers before we talk a little bit about that E3 thing. We got VMacMan. Welcome to Early Access, channel member with the Joanna Dark icon. Welcome. Keep an eye out for the channel membership tab, the community tab, where I'll post videos when I make them. Newsman kind of like to make a big video. It's been kind of iffy there. And like I keep saying, guys, there's been too many pieces of bad news folded in with the small news. But anyway, Cody Houghton, thank you for the Canadian $7. I hope I said that right. Houghton is probably what it is. Houghton. Says Xbox should buy Square and make Final Fantasy exclusive and make Call of Duty exclusive once next gen starts. I want to talk about that as well. That folds into Satya saying, let us compete. Red Wolf, thank you so much for the $2 super. Been playing games with Red Wolf on the weekends. He says Cyberpunk 2077 should have had more third person elements, or as a lot of other people in the chat have said, would a third-person mode have helped this game, guys? Cyberpunk.
I think so. I was actually on the when this was a topical thing when CD Projekt Red were making it, and they said we don't want to make a first person, a third person. I said, good, don't make it third. If you don't want to make it third, don't make it third, because you have an artistic vision as a developer. Like, let not just be at the behest of fans who keep crying for things, but at the same time. In this game, I don't see why a third person thing would hurt. You do go third person. I was actually disappointed when you go on the bike or car, like it's running ahead, that it goes third person. I'm like, stick to one thing. So what the moment this happened and this was third person, I'm like, right, well, you should have just had third person. Then you can actually see your character and see the gear that you put on, and you have so much customization. Why wouldn't you have it then?
Everyone looked like a rodeo clown in the game. The clothes were ridiculous. I played as female V, which was really good because Fonz picked the male V, and he's like, the clothes are ridiculous. And because you were so colorful, if you dressed up as a male, you had to look like a circus, like a rodeo clown, like with running around
and
colorful clothes.
My character looks weird.
Some of the goofiest clothes had the stats you needed, but whatever. I don't know. I think third person would have helped, but I also saw the mod on PC, and it looked laughable. Red Wolf sends a $1.49 sticker. Thank you, Red Wolf. And it's a unicorn pony. Just love it. Love it. Risking for the biscuit with the Australian $3 says, could they be building a console? Tencent building a console, he says. Is it possible?
Yes. It is
really
possible.
You think it is?
Nothing. I think it's, of course, man. But these are big players in the space. If they feel like there's a niche there or momentum behind some of their IPs and they've got a multitude of studios or they could leverage their position with hardware, then why would they? You can never say no. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, if I were Tencent sat there, I'm like, all right, what is this hardware going to do? What's the entry point? What's the entry price? We see the Logitech G Cloud or whatever the hell that is. That costs $350 and is cloud only. At that price point, you're like, if they that went to production and whatever, then why can't Tencent produce something possibly cheaper, possibly a Steam Deck competitor? Well, that sounds
I mean,
weird.
They can afford the R&D and to take, you know, a $5 hit per unit on a console like Sony and Microsoft are. Well, Sony's price hiked their console so they don't have to, but Tencent could do it. But to think, I think we talked about this last week. When you look into the future, they'll need 3 years at least if they're just starting to design a console. And to release a console, it could really be their last, their first and their last. You never know. You never know if it's something to do. And the teams at Xbox and PlayStation have had 20 to 25 years to dive into what it takes to get a PCB board and a form factor that makes a console that, you know, and some things don't
work
right.
Is that true? Riskit says the Logitech is a collaboration with Tencent too.
I didn't know that. Really? That's one of my items. Let's talk about the Logitech because I did a video about 2 months ago saying there's no way, according to Xbox hardware lead Jason Ronald, that the Series S could be crammed into a handheld with the screen. It would be the size of a tissue box. He said it's not possible. And for them to build another form factor less powerful than the Series S in order to get it in a handheld size, it's just not the right thing to do. But the Steam Deck is. Well, yeah. Gaz, what is the Steam Deck's specs compared to a Series S or X? Like,
I don't know, but I've got it. I need to return mine because mine's buggy. The on button doesn't work great. But it's not. I don't know what the point of comparison. I actually don't really know about the Steam Deck's spec.
I haven't looked into it. Never thought about it.
Runs beautifully. 60 frames on even older games like Max Payne. My brother was running. What was he playing? Huge.
Oh man, that's two generations ago. But I know people have played current games and slightly older games. I talked to Zachary,
really
he has
well.
One, and he says you set it at
sub 1080p. He's getting his tomorrow. Zorka's getting his tomorrow, but it's a very impressive machine that plays games locally. My brother has hacked his one to run Windows on his emulation everywhere. This is just like, for the little bit, $50 more, whatever, you can get a Steam Deck. It's like, for me, I don't know. But then there's value for that for people, for the Game Pass Ultimate family guys that don't really care about Steam's, you know,
marketplace. I'm going to pull the audience here. And for those of you who are listening to the Ecstasy Podcast on demand on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts, I'm putting a poll in the live chat that will say the following. So you can follow along and just put a little vote, like tap it on your forehead while you're listening. But I'm going to say, audience, and we've got over 660 people watching. Hit the like button if you're having a good time. There's 212 likes. I think we've had enough people come by here that are like, this show's okay. These guys are all right. I'm asking a poll. Would you buy a Logitech? I'm just going to call it the Logitech so I can get this written faster. The Logitech handheld, a Steam Deck, and then the third option would be neither, because there are people who are like me. I'm not tempted to buy these because I just don't think I would play on the go, but I did use my phone with the Razer Kishi when I was at the beach during some downtime, and I was like, that was actually kind of fun. So I'm going to hit the thing, asking the community now, would you rather get the $300, right now it's $300, $300 Logitech that only plays xCloud through the cloud on your Wi-Fi or internet connection, or a Steam Deck, which doesn't have your Xbox games on it unless you work around and kind of modify the OS to allow you to console stream. You can't take all the games you own on Xbox for this audience, right? Like if you bought Phoenix Rising on Xbox, you can't get that onto your Steam Deck unless you go buy the game on PC, I suppose. I mean, I guess with Ubisoft, whatever. Just want to know. Gaz, what are you thinking? Because you like the Steam Deck. What are your thoughts on the Logitech? People think Xbox needs a handheld.
I just think I could see the utility in a handheld for Xbox. A cloud-based thing, I think the tech isn't there yet unless you're playing at home with Wi-Fi. The real, like, and I really want Project X Cloud to succeed, because when I did play and I completed Crackdown purely cloud, purely mobile, but it wasn't perfect by any means. But when it did work, with I had a Razer, not Kishi, the Jungle Cat, the early one, it was quite expensive for what it was. And I felt the magic of it. I really truly believe in that. I think the Logitech handheld will make sense more and more in the future. A few more years, maybe 5 years. I want Microsoft to push, make strides in their cloud tech, because Google's Stadia was really impressive, man. Like, it was way better in its tech than xCloud in terms of latency. I played Cyberpunk on the Stadia, and it felt near native, whereas there was no comparison with xCloud. Obviously, things may have changed. I haven't checked xCloud for a while, but it's... Yeah, you know, I do believe in that. I'm not dismissive because, oh, is this cloud? Wah. No, there's a utility there. They're looking to the future, and I do believe in xCloud. God forbid we have any kind of calamity, because the international world is a mess right now. Any wars could set us back in tech, or EMP nuke goes off and we go back to no internet. Hey, man, these things could happen. And I say that in 666, that's the devil's number watching us. I was gone down. But yeah, sorry, ADHD. Two people with ADHD. You thought this was a good idea. Welcome.
Yeah, What was I thinking?
Yeah, no. But yeah, no, honestly, I think it's a cool thing, but I'm not buying it. And I know
it's,
don't even lie.
I think it's a shifty discussion to talk about the handheld, because I know the Xbox fans want one, but you have to imagine that it would be a sub 720p 60 FPS machine. But I mean, the screen's small, so it would still look nice. But I don't know. There's many games now, as we play on 55 or 70 inch TVs, where you get that down to a small screen, and now it's like, you just have to work too hard to play the game. That comfort that you need for control kind of gets compromised, but I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point on the comfort and controllers, because all of them, including Nintendo Switch and Steam Deck, ultimately hurt my brittle hands. I have women hands, but women like it. Women like it. They're soft.
They're so soft and supple. Yeah.
The calluses. I go to the gym. But yeah, you're right.
Happy Bomb wrote in the chat, she asked Biggie Butters, you don't like the Switch? And I was just playing the Switch. I we've had one in the house for 2-3 years, and I just never play on it. All right, I'm gonna sit down, we're having a lazy Saturday, and I loaded it up, and I'm like, oh, these thumbsticks are so far out here on this thing, and they're so small, and I'm like, I don't. And then the buttons are Switch, and then the games, I'm like, I don't know if this is a, because, well, I'll full disclosure, I set a pre-order up for the Logitech handheld for $299, knowing that I'm very sure I'm going to just cancel the pre-order. I have like a month to figure it out, but I'm pretty sure I don't want it. So I was playing on the Switch as I think about canceling this thing, and I'm like, I don't know if I just don't think this is my type of way to play games. And it's not a knock on the games, the Switch, just that feeling. I would just want to dock it. I just want to dock it, because when my kids play and dock it on the TV, I sit back and I go, there you go, sitting back with the controller. But
the Steam Deck is really good, man. The size is chunky, it's weighty, feels like what an Xbox handheld should be. So if that's what you're off, but then, yeah, library of games, you're going to hack it. But yeah. It's a really good machine.
I have some 75 games on Steam, and I've played most of them all the way through. So would I be tempted to buy more multi-plats on there for the mobility? No, probably not. And who cares what my opinion is on a handheld? But now that I see the Deathloop gameplay up, I have to talk about this game that Xbox fans had to wait for their exclusives because PlayStation bought them all up. But Deathloop is here, and guess what? We get the definitive version. We get the full version on Game Pass, or if you buy it outright. It's not a $70 game. It's won and nominated for many awards. It also runs markedly better on the Xbox Series X over the PS5, as it should. The hardware is more powerful. Mm. Gaz, there is a total controversy that we have to talk about right now. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did. And
I mean, I've got it in my schedule, but we're going to talk about a controversy about aluminium.
aluminium.
Yes.
What do you guys say? Aluminum. Oh, my. It's going to be one of those shows, people, where we're going to go. There's some law. This is different.
Shout out to the chat. We've got Canadian, Australian, British, people from all over. So I get to learn.
Tell us which country you're from in chat, by the way. If it's not one of American, Canadian, if it's not been said before, let us know in chat. I really want
to
know.
I would love to see
where people come to see that. Yeah, that'd be
weird. Yeah, also, this show runs in the early afternoon or early or late morning in Australia. And then for you, it's something in the morning. In your DMs, guys, I put the actual typed out quote of this thing because here it is. People have been arguing about this, and we've given this a lot of thought, but PlayStation had exclusive marketing rights and exclusive release rights for Deathloop on the PlayStation 4 and 5 for one full year from a studio that Xbox had just purchased. And when the game was analyzed by Digital Foundry, who goes in and zooms in and counts pixels, checks the frame rate performance across Series S and X and PS5, the answer in the end was that the game runs at the same resolution on the PS5 as it does on the Series X. But the frame rate performance as you play through the game is better on the Series X. And everyone is ready to call foul that PlayStation is dirty and greasy and paying their partners to hold back the game on the Xbox Series X. Now, I'm not going to definitively say that I believe this or not, but I am sitting in a situation right now where I'm starting to wonder how developers feel or think they can get away with under the scrutiny and iron fist of the PlayStation and Sony.
Yeah, you think you could do that and get away from it like you didn't push that tweet? I am here to on your chest.
I deleted the tweet because it was very acerbic. I said I'm tired of the greasy business practices where they're buying up exclusivity of third-party games. They're holding timed exclusives for an undetermined amount. They are paying for technical parity to keep games at the same resolution. We're going to dive into this because we've seen it time and again, and we were talking to your co-host Asa about it, who was firmly set in his ways for me this morning. And things started to change. Gaz, what's going on with this? Do you want to start by reading the actual legalese that was in a document and tell people where it came from? Kind of set this up.
Look, this is what it's happened. And there's a lot of nuance to this topic, whether you believe it or not. It's up to you. PlayStation's parity clause, that Cole Eastwood decided to launch a war on Twitter by saying that they're so greasy. How dare they hold it back? There's more to, well, we'll talk about it. But PlayStation's technical parity, there is a clause. Clause 1.4 of their publisher agreement, which says, during the term and for 7 years thereafter, publisher's defined term, will ensure each version of the game is available on PlayStation platforms, maintains content, feature, and technical parity, brackets, subject to material platform limitations, close brackets, with any equivalent game version of all DLC on any competitive platform. And they won't release it, blah, 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 blah. But that's the line. That it will be technical parity, but the brackets subject to material platform limitations. What does that mean? Does that read like, hey, Xbox cannot, do we need to have the same res? You need to be the same? Does that put pressure on developers and publishers? Really?
That's certainly what a lot of people have read into it. And then I don't know. There's a lot of ways to go to this, but Z-Huge, who is a analyst in the gaming industry, and he reports on leaks and news. And right, what's that?
He's a pony.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. He blocked Z-Huge.
Z-Huge said, I want to set the record straight for this technical parody legalese because you guys all have it wrong. He said, he blocked me like a few years ago. And I talked to somebody and they said,
he just goes
and blocks anybody who has like an allegiance with a console. Sure, but fine. You know what? My stance is if you block, good for you. I really mean it. But anyway, Z-Huge said, you guys are reading into this too. He's not talking about me. He said to a lot of people who are talking about this, he said, the technical parody doesn't say that the version can be any better or any worse. And he's like, ha ha, I got you. And I'm like, you just literally explained that, you know, PlayStation can't say make the game better on the PS5. And they can't say make it worse on the Xbox. Sure, we know that. But what he didn't say is they're not. How do I say that without being confusing? He says they can't make it any better or any worse. I'm like, that's the argument we're literally talking about, that they're saying it has to be on par. And we just heard Sony say to the regulators, we want things on fair and equal terms when they're regarding to Call of Duty for exclusivity rights while they're paying for early access and extra content on their platform. Sony doesn't want fair and equal terms, Gaz. Sony wants Xbox to be fair and equal with them so they can have their cake and eat it too. So let's talk about the technical parity, because people say it means you can't have features like DualSense or rumble triggers on the Xbox that aren't there, or Kinect voice commands within the game that wouldn't play over on the PlayStation. But that stuff's already written out in the legalese, as you wrote, and then it goes and says technical parity, which my argument, Gaz, not taking a totally definitive statement, but you know I'm very much leaning towards PlayStation's the bad guy here. Imagine you're Arcane Leon and you're working on this game and you get ready to set your targets. Okay, we're making the port for PlayStation. We also got to work on the one for Xbox because it's coming in 1 year. And they said, well, we got that thing that says about technical parity and making everything the same. So why don't we just hit 1800p target on both of them? That way we're in the clear. We can't come back and get it. The contract can't bite us in the rear end. And they say, yeah, let's just make it the same resolution, because we've seen the same thing with Capcom. I think we saw the same thing with Remedy, where the game launched at the same resolution and frame rate target with the same settings with lighting and shadows on the Series X and PS5 when the PS5 is more powerful.
Yeah, so look, I get where you're coming from, and I will say this. These things are governed by relationships that you have. You have a strict interpretation of these wordings. You'll get the narrative that suits you. It's like religion. You're like, you'll have one clause that's definitive, but people's interpretation will change. Like, this clause already talks about material. What constitutes a material limitation? You know, that's still arguable, but that happens all the time in law. I deal with it all the time, and I'm wrestling back and forth on interpretations on the lease, like subject to a material breach. My client can terminate the lease. What constitutes a material breach? Is there, like, you know, jurisprudence on it? Blah, blah, blah. But the main thing is people need to understand, and this isn't being, look, this is common sense. Like, the ponies can come at me, or anyone can, but just think about this in earnest, with sincerity. Market leader with PlayStation, it's important to maintain those relationships. Sony are known for being a Rottweiler as well. Look at Sony's attitudes to even reviewers. They will deprive your review codes for games because if they've had it. History, GameSpot. Remember the whole fiasco? Deprived, you review a game badly, we won't see it. Us. They checked our quality with a smaller channel referred out a grand game aggregation platform. And they said, okay, let's look at your YouTube content. So our YouTube content said, oh, sorry, in this time, because admittedly, a lot of my content is shitting up. I'm sorry. Pooing on PlayStation sometimes. Sorry, my bad. Apologies, chat. And then, so they said, look, we can't give you this code for whatever Horizon or whatever at the time. I'm like, all right, I don't care. Didn't end up doing the review anyway, but it's based on relationships. It's based on it. If you're market leader and it's ease of use, you're obviously going to veer towards the path of least resistance. You're going to make it. It's like, all right, the attitude of, well, we might as well make it uniform and at the same time make PlayStation happy. Is that Sony's fault, perhaps? Are they holding things back?
I see where you come from. Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
So, I mean, it's, you have to resign to the reality of things, as horrible as it sounds, but it's not as an ominous PlayStation, as far as I'm aware. Their tentacles spreading around these developers and publishers and saying, yo, what's that? Is that 4K? Is that native res on Xbox? You, I'm going to beat you. No, like, it's not like that.
Yeah,
or at least I hope it's not like that. I don't think it's like that. And though history's shown that Rockstar, they had a publishing, they had a marketing agreement with PlayStation. Why?
Yes,
does,
there are good exceptions that kill like this idea that I've got a solid argument, right? Like Red Dead Redemption 2, like you said, ran at nearly double the resolution that the PS4 did. It was really big, but Ace Combat, Resident Evil, like I said, Remedy's Control. Arl Stein said, I accidentally, in my rant at one point, I said the PS5 is more powerful. No, I'm just kidding. But I misspoke, obviously. But I don't really believe this, and it's one of those things that I want to hear more as the jury's out on it. But I do think it's interesting to kind of get up in arms a little bit and wonder, like, is this yet another thing that PlayStation does? Because they don't want competition, guys. They want their competition out of the way. Like,
yes,
it's
do.
One thing
they
to fight, you know, like, hey, we've got the better product and we want to bring customers to us because we're the best. And businesses should try to squash their competition. But PlayStation is really, really good at making the world think their other competition doesn't exist. And they do a very good job of that in their marketing. And that's
PlayStation
where Xbox,
wants Xbox to die. PlayStation wants Xbox to die. That's, let's be real. They want Xbox to die.
Especially now. Especially now, because when I say that PlayStation wants to be the product in the mind or the go-to place for gaming fans, like, oh, it's PlayStation, right? That's a place to play all these massive games that are made by the biggest studios, right? At least Nintendo out of it, because you're talking about Ubisoft, Activision, EA, like all the big games, Callisto Protocol, like the big things you're looking forward to. They want you to forget that Xbox exists. And
they do.
Now PlayStation knows what it's like, guys, because Game Pass will become the de facto place to play and buy your games a la carte, right? So you're getting this situation where PlayStation now feels like our console was the place to be, but Xbox has created this a la carte, pay 10 or 20 bucks a month and get everything and anything. And I say 20 bucks to cover like Ultimate and all that stuff, whatever. It's a real threat for PlayStation.
It is. And ultimately, the Microsoft is all about disrupting that. With Japan, Sony's worried. Like, they're just going, attacking them in their home base, building relationships. This is how it happened. The whole ZeniMax thing happened because of relationships with these studios. This is how COD even happened, because they had an intrinsic relationship. Game Pass comes in and disrupts the whole industry. Sony has every reason to be worried.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that means, like, everything. Technically, the console is starting. You know, we ever made fun of the tools? That's starting to show, but obviously we still need to see the next gen multiplats. Let's see. But yeah, it's obvious. Like, the writing is on the wall. The games, value, but customer service. If you say consumer friendly and PlayStation in the same sentence, you'll laugh at them. It was just such a massive U-turn, because it was all for the players last gen. Now you laugh at them. But
And the gaming fans are well aware of the tide that has turned, where PlayStation was a big juggernaut, and they've done a lot of bragging, and it hasn't done them a lot of favors. One of the things that I've noticed a lot of people are saying now is Xbox fans they've been waiting forever for games. And in 2023, there's going to be like 5 big AAAs on Xbox. Finally!
Hopefully.
PlayStation has 5 games total. Like, that's all they projected out is 2 Square Enix games that they don't own. They've got Final Fantasy 16. Yeah. They've got Forspoken. God of War Ragnarok. It's going to be amazing. And then they've got Spider-Man and Wolverine. And then Last of Us Factions, which they promised in 2019. It's been held out. So we've got a lot to look forward to. PlayStation fans have a lot to look forward to. But they kind of look and they're like, well, Xbox has like 30 games in the works. We don't know what PlayStation's doing.
Out. This year's been a bit of a dead year for it. Well, a bit of a dead year. I think it's really dead. The only thing is, on paper, PlayStation has had an incredible year. But Horizon Forbidden West, did it make the impact even amongst the PlayStation camp? I feel like, Gran Turismo, again, that's like, that's not Forza's coming. And Forza's going to...
I mean, not even PlayStation was bragging about the numbers on that one. I mean, Grounded's about to come out, which we'll talk about way at the end of the show, but that's already got more players than Gran Turismo did, I think. It's got 10 million players. Yeah, 10 million players over, but it's been out for many years. But I mean, when the game launched, the first, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but when Grounded launched, it was not much of anything, really, and it's really grown.
Yeah.
In fact, tomorrow, right now it is, 6 o'clock in the evening. Tomorrow in like 18 hours or something, I am interviewing one of the heads of Obsidian to talk about Grounded and the future of it, and I'll pre-record that, hopefully fold it into a video. Wow. So I'm really happy to do that. But
nice.
It's gonna be cool. It's gonna be cool. There's a couple surprises with this with the person. I can't wait to meet him. But Shuyu Yoshida said, was it him? Oh my gosh, that's what I wrote in my notes. Said that PlayStation Premium is not the place. I'm gonna paraphrase him because I didn't grab the quote. But he said this a couple days ago that PlayStation Premium, their service, is not the place to debut new games. It's to revitalize old games, and that Stray the Cat game, that was an anomaly, or that was an exception.
It's basically new game. It's for old games. PlayStation Plus is for old games.
Mm-hmm.
That's just you holding a white flag there, just that we've given up on surrender.
It's time. It's time for me to become Colt Eastwood, the financial analyst.
Here we go. Here we go.
Like that, right? Gaz, can I start this off like really super messy?
It's your show. Do whatever you want.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I've said these numbers kind of before, but here's the thing. I think that Yoshida said this because I feel like I'm doing one of those segments they do on TV where they zoom in and Frosk says that you're all trash and then they shut down the studio. But anyway, I think that Yoshida said this.
Please don't do what Frosk did. Please don't do a Frosk.
I think that PlayStation is admitting that their fans are not going to follow through. When he says we can't put our games day and date on the service, because that's not what it's meant for. I think he is saying, without saying, I'm going to lean in on this one, guys. The PlayStation fans are not going to subscribe in enough force to make it viable for them. He is saying to the PlayStation fans, you don't buy enough, you don't pay enough on our platform. Because as the PlayStation guys will tell you guys, they can't afford to put their games on a $1 service or a $10 service because they're too expensive. But Sony already pays for that development of those games. Now, here we go. You're going to have to guide me a little bit, Gaz, here. But if Jim Ryan came out tomorrow and said, all of our fantastic PlayStation exclusives like The Last of Us Part 1 and Part 2, and all of our fantastic blockbuster cinematic games like Ghost of Tsushima, and I'm trying to think of all of them, and Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, with its SSD capabilities, will be available day one. Day one. All those games will be included in PlayStation Premium for $18 a month. But wait, there's more. If you sign up now, every new PlayStation exclusive, like The Last of Us Factions, Spider-Man 2, Wolverine, and Chewy Chewy Bakarooey Lasts a Long Time will be coming to PlayStation day and date on PlayStation Premium. I was just making up a really cool name of a game. How many people, Gaz, would upgrade to the premium service if they knew Spider-Man, Wolverine, God of War Ragnarok, and all of their tentpole games were right there in the service?
12.
How many? Give me a number.
12 people. What do you want me to say? 15 trillion.
Void Rat goes, oh my gosh, Colt, Jim is a Gordy, not a posh English bloke. Yeah, yeah, I can't do that accent, but I was doing my best. And I didn't like that pre-think
good,
to that.
I thought it was good. I thought it was good. I like Jim.
He's very suave.
I like Colt Jim.
He's got the button undone. He's got the gin blossoms because he has late drinks before he goes to his morning Zoom meetings. He's amazing. So, Gaz, how many people? I'm going to ask the chat as well. Lee, 718, how many in the millions do you think would upgrade in the first month or two to PlayStation Premium, knowing that Spider-Man 2, God of War Ragnarok, Final Fantasy 16, Forspoken, Wolverine, that they're all going to be there when they launch?
Are you saying Chris additional?
Says 30 million. I have a number that I bounced off another friend. Gaz, I want to hear yours as well as we look at the chat.
Is that an additional subscribers?
Well, they have 50 million subscribers on PS Plus, so you got to think how many people are going to take their $10, well, it's not $10 a month, but take their $60 a year payment plan and upgrade it, double it, basically, to whatever it is to get them upgraded up, because there'd probably be an upgrade deal.
I'm at the risk of 11.7.
11.7. I'm with Insanity says 6.9 million. I am sitting somewhere around 8 to 10 million, I think.
A lot of people in chat are saying 10 million.
Now, the reason why I ask you that number, chat, and Gaz, my amazing, handsome co-host, is 10 million upgrades would easily pay for that risk. But I don't think Yoshida and the other leadership at PlayStation think they've run the numbers. I don't think they expect or even feel like 10 million or 8 million would subscribe. I think they must think it's only going to be 1 or 2 million and it's not worth it. Otherwise, Hargeet and I were crunching the numbers. It would be, I don't remember the number. I put up a tweet about it, but they would be making a billion something a year. And it already pays for, and you know what, people already buy the games regardless. Some of them even, and here's what you do as well. Xbox does this and it's brilliant. You put the game day and date in the service, and 3 days earlier you can get the deluxe version that you buy outright, and you get it early, and people can't wait, and then the other ones they wait on and get in the service. So I talk a lot, Gaz. What is your opinion on this?
Well, look, I think you're onto something there. There may be data available to them that's stopping them doing this. But I think the reason why they're not doing it is because they're just buying time. Buying time to squeeze out as much as they can from this model that has served them incredibly well. They're not well adjusted against a competitor that has remarkably more financial weight than they are to have a face-off on this. So they have to squeeze out. Sony's doing the right thing. I'm sorry, but they're fighting to survive. PlayStation is everything that more or less for Sony. I'm not saying PlayStation is going to die when I say fighting to survive, but for them, it's a battle where they need to squeeze out as much as they can. And really, Microsoft have a gamble as well with this capital expenditure on Game Pass. But they're just buying time. One day, I do imagine that Sony will follow suit. They will have day and date. They will. That's where the market is leading. And then obviously this narrative of quality and all that will age terribly. Like a lot of narratives.
Which they do a lot. They back off on their statement, on their stance on why they do or don't do things. And then they say, we believe in generations. So I fully expect that as well, guys. And that was a matter of months.
I fully expect that.
Here's the problem, and I got to give a shout out to Beer Baron 00 or Beer Baron Double Ott. It's probably how he says his name. Beer Baron nails it. He says, but the problem is, Colt, keeping those subscribers, you don't do that with one and done 12-hour single player games. Now we can sit here like Beer Baron and take the pee about the one and done thing. But there is such merit to a Forza Horizon 5. People play it for months. And I mean, I played it for 2 months straight, right? Xbox has more output coming to Game Pass. They've struck more deals. One of my good friends said, I don't like to quote somebody if I'm not sure if they said it, but one of my good friends said that PlayStation may be able to put all their games in there, but they don't have the capital to pick up a couple or a bunch of third-party things like Plague's Tale, Requiem, and like that. Maybe they don't have the capital to grab those, but their tentpole first-party games, Gaz, are done in 8 to 25 hours for the most part, and which is great because they're amazing. But they don't have that online competitive and cooperative factor that's also built into the game where you do the single-player thing, you go on and you play the campaign all the way through with your friend, minus Halo, and then you have the competitive multiplayer and all that stuff, right? And there really is merit. Beer Baron's right.
He's right. Absolutely. Those games are designed for Game Pass. That's why they work. But Sony, again, is buying time. It's buying time. Like 10 live services games, buying time. Their model's going to change. Their single player one and done game is not going to work. There's going to be more co-op. Ghost of Tsushima has it. Then there's going to be all of that. All of their games are going to do what Microsoft has been doing, albeit not so great in many games in terms of quality, but they're going to do that. They are buying time, squeezing as much as they can until they ready themselves to be in a position
it's
where
they
are. It's too early now. Mark these words. If it doesn't happen, in I'm talking about 10 years' time, then that would have meant that Game Pass, its growth, either Game Pass failed or its growth is horrendously low, that it couldn't disrupt PlayStation for a decade with that plan. That's how I see things.
I don't know if Game Pass is going to dominate what PlayStation offers, but we do know that PlayStation is very far behind, and they're doing everything Xbox is doing. They're buying studios. They're working on 10 games as a service titles, which will feed it to keep people on the service. And I think maybe the 10 live service games is part of the plan to make that system more robust, because they do the service system more robust. And I think that's where they're sitting. This takes us to what Satya said, because he said, I hated it when he said this, Gaz, but he has such a beautiful smile, and he says, we're number five. We're down in the, we're not even on the podium. Like we're not even fourth. We're maybe fifth place.
Oh, Microsoft. Oh.
It's like, you know, of course he's talking about Xbox, because as far as Microsoft, they're at the top, but when he looks at the Xbox gaming division, he's like, we didn't even get a certificate and we can't compete. And he says to the, this is all old news for everybody. So they gave him the little certificate with a scratch and sniff sticker, you know, the one that smells like chocolate. And you smell it, that doesn't smell like chocolate. Shout out to anybody who was raised in the 80s that had scratch and sniff stickers. They're freaking awesome. Until 2 weeks later when they ran out of smell, kind of like Halo Infinite. But anyway, sorry, Mac Brown. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
No.
I lost my train of thought. Yeah, he's like, we're number five. Like, he says, he doesn't say it to PlayStation. He's not talking to PlayStation, Gaz. He's talking to the regulators. And what does he say? And do his accent, because you're from that part of the planet. I love it.
This boggle. He wants me to do an Indian accent as an English. Do you know how inappropriate? I can do it, but Big Bang Theory got cancelled for that. Although guy wasn't Indian, I could get away with it.
I mean, you were born next to the country.
All right, bastard. If you want me to do it, I will do it, bastard. I will swear on this show, bastard, if you want me to do it. He said, we are only fourth place, bastard. We're only Apple is in this place, bastard. They don't even do anything. 30% mobile. We don't even invest in it. They are fourth.
No,
we are
you fifth. Sounded, we are stop. So you sounded so you sounded so much nicer. You were killing me. Okay, for the audience, and anybody who's just joined the show, anybody who's listening on demand on Spotify, where you just have audio only, Gaz is amazing. He was born and raised as a child in Pakistan. He has spent most of his adult life in London. So one of my best friends is Indian, but doesn't have an accent like that. So yeah, I've learned so much.
The accents are quite similar. Indian accent is stronger. Satya's accent isn't stronger, but he was we are number four in the place. It is going to happen.
I think it's amazing.
If you want to compete, compete, yeah. No, he didn't do it like that, but he was like, he said it in this place. Look, we're fourth place. His accent is actually kind of peculiar. It's in middle somewhere as an Asian person.
But
I can say
his smile, though. He sat back there in that interview and just smiled like, let us compete. He's not pleading to the regulators. He's like kind of like his attitude is like, we're not even in the realm of dominating. We wanted to the platform was not doing anything. Like, and I'm sure Satya's sitting there looking back, like, before I took over, they wanted Xbox to drown. And he's like, now we want to invest in it. We want to build something. Our games go everywhere, but a PlayStation. Let us compete. He said it like that. Let us compete. Can you imagine if he did that? He was just talking all professional. He's like, let us compete. Let me read a couple super chats. I am sweating bullets here. We got into this season where it's cold outside in the morning and at night, but then like I sit here with Gaz and I feel like the depths of hell for every
someone
broken rule.
Clip that. Just going, let's go.
Shout out to Riskit for the biscuit in the chat as well. Dub says, shout out to another great show. Mad respect to Gaz for bringing up Guyver, by the way. I would love to see some anime titles. Well, I'm glad he said titles. Made it into some AAA games. Thanks, Dub. Outbreak Podcast Web Dave sends a super. Thank you, buddy. He says, I own a Steam Deck and ordered a Logitech G. So he says, so both. Risky for the biscuit with Australian 3. Thank you, buddy. He says, and we need to play games, bro. I need to get him on chat again.
Have you seen his KD on COD? It's terrible. I don't play with you, Risky.
He would fit right in with me.
Huggy just joined the chat because I just started watching to hear Gaz doing an Indian accent. Asses off.
Okay, it's coming back. I don't know. I think it disconnected right when I was saying that, but we should be back. Hang on a second. Anyway, the guy said... Jim Castle.
I mean, Jim Ryan.
The guy said, go to this gas station. And this lady makes amazing Indian food. So what was I? Oh, let me read the super. We should be back. Keep an eye on the chat while I read this here. Gaz, you're amazing. Risky for the Biscuit says, if it's not in effect, why do we not? This? He's talking about the parity clause a little while ago. He says, why do we not have FSR 2.0 on Deathloop? And that is something that AMD touted and bragged about in the spring, saying it will be the first game on Xbox with FSR 2.0, and that's when we knew the exclusivity was ending. And I looked earlier, Risk It, I couldn't find any information. It's only using FSR 1.0, and it's a software thing. I don't know why they didn't push it in there. Risk It also asked with another super chat, FSR 1.0 is available on PlayStation. That's why it would come under tech parity. Why don't we have FSR 2.0 on Deathloop? It's not parody.
It's a material technical diff. That's the definition. If the PlayStation can't do FSR 2.0, Xbox can. That fits right in a material technical difference. That's why.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
where it would be. I'm sorry, like, that's what it would be. Fight me.
Fight me. Anyway, yeah, I'm sure YouTube was like, Gaz's accent was so good, we had to cut the stream for a second. Gamer by Choice, thank you so much for the super, who's also a channel member with the Raz from Psychonauts, as I adjust my glasses. Gamer by Choice said, didn't Sony already say service is not sustainable? If they went back on it, they may lose face. Plus, they think they get more money without it. Do they get more money when they just sell their games outright? I'm kind of thinking maybe they won't or don't, and they don't know it. Gaz, you disagree.
Well, I disagree. I think they, look, the way it's going, that price tag, they will make a lot more money than subs. Their games aren't poised to extract value. Like, we've talked about that. Single player only, one and done games. They're not really fit for that sub model. So they're buying time. Their games will be, mark these words, there will be single-player games, they will have more multiplayer components, more things, angling themselves for the future of the subservice. They'd be stupid not to do it. Even exploratory.
But it's weird. I mean, do they expect that their games only sell the first month? Because that's definitely not true. When you put out a game like Horizon Forbidden West, well, I mean, they had to bundle it. But I know that you expect most of your sales to come in the first week or two. Like, the biggest chunk of your sales, maybe. But it's just not true. Like, Spider-Man is not a service-based game, and it sold and sold and sold for 3 years until it hit 20 million or 30 million sold. I don't understand why even a shorter game isn't viable for people to come in and, hey, I've been hearing about this PlayStation Premium. My friend Jerry has PlayStation Premium, and it's got these games that I haven't played yet. Maybe PlayStation feels like, hey, our core audience, only 10% of our core audience buys our first-party games, and that 10% is not going to make it if we went to PlayStation Premium. But Premium isn't for the core audience. Premium is wide. Like, you're there to grab everybody. Anybody who wants a cheap alternative or a better value into the service. That's where I'm sitting at it. Red Wolf with a super...
It's a nuanced topic. It's a nuanced topic. You need it data. Is.
We've talked about it a lot here, and I feel like we don't get very far. But here's the funny things. I feel like I'm right and PlayStation's wrong. How ridiculous is that? How dumb am I? I really do. Well, and I've had people on Twitter get really mad at me. Oh, what business degree do you have? I'm like, well, I have a computer-aided drafting
half
degree.
Half the people on the Twitter can't even read, so it's like, what business degree
do you
need?
You're wrong with Y-O-U-R. What business degree do you not have Fortu with? Yeah, no. Red Wolf, thank you so much. I'm being disrespectful. I'm really sorry. Next time, I'll wait 5 minutes to make another joke and make fun of people. Red Wolf with the $20 super says, nothing important to say, just wanted to give some support to two very good dudes who are both an inspiration to a ton of people here in this great community. I think I speak for everyone when I say never stop, never stopping like this. So thank you. We really appreciate that. Gaz and I talk about creating content or doing shows and sitting down to make that video when you're wondering if how much work is going to be. You guys make it worth it, right, Gaz?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. The only reason why is your reactions. It's like to make seeing people like it. It's not about money. Don't give a damn about that. Uh-huh. It's all about people like it.
I talked to someone who said, you know, Cole, people just listen to the videos. They don't watch them because I take the time to put all these special clips in. And you and I do these micro edits and time things. And one of our friends is like, you know, people just turn their phone over and listen to your video like it's a radio report. I'm like, do they? I don't know. But we like to make stuff cool because it's funny. It's hard to explain. I like reading the comments and hearing how people enjoyed the video or what they learned from it. I like to see the numbers, you know. And if I make $5, I'm going to buy Gaz a ice cream sundae at E3.
Do it.
Let's do it. Phil do Spencer. It. Phil Spencer. I'll just jump right into this. Phil Spencer is rumored to, he's kind of said this publicly, but they're not interested in paying for franchise games. Like, they're not interested in going to Monolith Studios and saying, we would like to have that Wonder Woman game exclusive. We'll pay you to put it on there. Phil Spencer's attitude is, we're waiting for ABK to clear, this Activision Blizzard. We'll just buy the studio or buy the franchise so we can have it. They don't want to pay fees to have access to stuff, to have it yanked because of some contractual agreement or have some other studio turn around and make something. They want to have Xbox say, Xbox is home to Banjo, Conker, Skyrim guy, Fallout guy, and on and on. And maybe Indiana Jones. I don't know. That's a previous one. But, Gaz, I want to hear what your opinion is, where he would just rather buy the franchise or buy the studio that owns the franchise.
What a flex. What a flex. I would rather just buy... Oh, no, he's American. I'd rather... I can't do American accent. Phil's also...
No, just talk like Blink-182 and you got it. Go.
Yeah, because I talk to you all the time. All the small things. Look, Microsoft needs to do that. These little... I completely understand. The metaverse push, they want identity association with the brand that isn't just temporary. Combine these franchise agreements, don't do much. Like, even Tomb Raider didn't do much. The core gaming circles, there was a lot of bad blood over the deal, but did you associate Tomb Raider and Xbox? No, it makes no sense. Buy the studios out, get those talent in there, make that. So Spider-Man and now PlayStation are synonymous with each other after one game. Well, Miles Morales DLC, they are. And there you go. They bought Insomniac. That's it. Now they can just churn these out. And what does Microsoft want? One Wonder Woman. One, like, whatever, X-Men game. And, like, X-Men, Xbox, come on, that breath. But, yeah, look, just buy the studio. Smart move. the right move.
I mean, they're doing that Midnight Suns Marvel game that's licensed that doesn't belong to them, and it's, I think it's a timed exclusive. Is it even an exclusive? I don't remember.
We don't even know. They're asking the question. Do you associate Midnight Suns with Xbox? I don't even know.
I don't even know the right answer. Chat, let us know. Hey, shout out to One Bad Mother in the chat. We hung out for hours the other night with some of the Ecstasy podcast Xbox Club people. One Bad Mother, no. What's that Midnight Suns? Is it just in Game Pass, but it's a multiplat? I can't even remember because I don't think I'm like really keyed in on excited about that game. But
Zucker is. I'm not.
Zucker likes anything Marvel. If they made Marvel frozen yogurt, he would be down there filling up the pink cup and putting on a little hat.
Greek Marvel yogurt. He's buying that. 100%.
If Marvel makes a Greek character, yeah, he's gonna dress up as that for every Halloween for the rest of his life. Shout out to Zucker. He's amazing. One of the other things that goes along, thanks to Assassin for being like right on spot for the time for this, is Phil and Sarah were at Tokyo Game Show and they've been speaking up in interviews about making a massive imprint in the Japanese and Asian market for gaming. Gaz, this is more of your forte, but Phil is saying that they want to have their own studio there or acquire one, and they are partnering with some of the biggest names in Asian gaming studios and publishers right now. Do you remember what some of these big names?
Well, I don't know the names and how big these partnerships are, but
didn't they say From Software in that list? And
they even at the end mentioned Square Enix. Right at the end, she was talking about all these names, and then Square Enix at the end. The main thing this is going to be leading to, I've said it for months, Xbox will, once the ABK deal is done, either acquire a big publishing outfit, Sega, or something with, like, Sega, you people love. Sega is very... Bro, what's this question of whether or not, and I don't know the answer, whether, and I see this all the time on the internet, you can't buy, a non-Japanese company cannot buy a Japanese company. They can get into a joint venture agreement. There are other ways around it. Once we get over this, humor me, and they can buy it, which I think they can. Sega makes so much sense. Sega made so... If you want to make a splash in Japan, you need to send a message. Kojima's not enough, although it's a big move. Sega, even though their IPs perhaps aren't anywhere... Well, not perhaps. Aren't comparatively, even remotely as relevant. The impact, the shockwave Sega would create in Japan and globally would be amazing. But mark my words, you can say I'm wrong. And this is a guess. I don't have any insider knowledge. I'm just telling you, they will buy a Japanese outfit. They will focus or a publisher. It's coming. And it's coming, in my opinion, quite soon. Because if you want a Game Pass to succeed, you want Japan to succeed, you have to do that. You just told me that they don't want to enter into franchise agreements because of why? They'd rather buy out studios. Why does that not apply to Japan? Absolutely applies to Japan. Homegrown talent. If this metaverse push where they spent $70 billion on Call of Duty and all of these without typical games with Xbox that aren't even actually, you know, unique, that something the PlayStation has, because you want something that PlayStation has. Mm-hmm. You want that appeal. It's happening. So... And if it happens, I swear to God, everyone in chat, you need to massage my face because it's happening. Publisher's happening. Developer. Big move is coming in Xbox in Japan. Everyone says it can't happen because of this legalese. I don't even know what cross-jurisdictional joint venture agreement is happening. So mark my words. And people are thinking small here. They're like, oh, little studios here and there. And if Microsoft is thinking that, they're wrong. They're wrong because you need a Lost Odyssey to... coming out. You need studios to develop that kind of game. If Microsoft's not thinking like that and they're doing these small little games, the only thing was, I think I talked about this last week on your show, as Sarah Bond alluded to, these small little partnerships and small games, that doesn't cut it. There's a waste of time. You're just going to buy it on the value proposition of Game Pass in Japan. It's short-sighted strategy. You'll see trickle-down effect, but it will not be the shotgun blast shock to the system that Japan needs. So mark my word, buy Sony, buy Sega. Sega, Sammy, they split the gambling and gaming departments right for the taking. It's happening. It's happening. I'm just going to say it. Sega.
Shout out to Mav in the chat. I'm hoping that somebody, I looked briefly while you were talking. I can't remember the name of the, like the four or five partnerships that Xbox said that they are, they're working on games right now because, excuse me, in the 20 years that Xbox has been around, they've had a lot of Asian marketed games that they've had exclusive. And then that has fallen out over the past 10 years. And so Sarah Bond named a bunch of partnerships. I couldn't remember what the names were because I wasn't planning on making a video, so I didn't like mark that in my notebook, you know, put that in there. But I swore they said things about From Software and some other big Bandai Namco or something, but I can't remember and I can't find it. But let me know in the chat if you remember what they said, because people were like, Xbox has no games from the Asian market. What are you talking about? They don't have anything. I'm like, the statement is literally about the future of Xbox having games coming from Japanese and Asian and Korean studios.
You can't read, I'm telling you.
I'll tell you what. And then they tell me, what's your business degree? And I'm like, bro, you haven't even gotten out of the third grade. That is complete. I'm terrible. Let me read a couple supers. Highlander 001, thank you for the super, says, I met Satya Nadella at his son's, funeral. My father-in-law... our close friends. He is a CEO for a reason. Phil Spencer can be nice, he says. Satya Nadella is the CEO of Microsoft. He doesn't have to be nice. It's just business. Microsoft will be fire next year.
I do feel like Satya Nadella has the fangs. Whereas Phil Spencer, obviously, he's the head of Xbox. He has to be his character. He's not... bro. Phil Spencer saved Xbox. Let's just be real.
Yep.
He made the pitch to Satya, and Satya said yes. This shout out to both of these gents for doing that. And Satya, though, has the teeth.
And as a PlayStation diehard fan, like, you can celebrate that Xbox for a decade was like laying there flaccid, sitting on the bench eating sunflower seeds, and never getting on the field and playing. And shout out to my baseball fans who are out here. But it was terrible. They weren't doing anything, and Phil had to convince Satya, let us compete. Yeah, he had to say, no, we want some games. We want some money.
Well, actually, let us compete. You did. He did. It was Phil Spencer who made the pitch. It's like, look, Satya said, literally the conversation goes, look, Phil, we don't need to be here yet. Come on, yet. We don't need to do gaming. What is this? Phil said, don't you do it, bastard. No, he said, Phil said, Satya, look, we can make waves. The smart play, though, Phil Spencer was right. If this conversation, they sat down in the back room and they said, look, Phil should say to Satya, was I not right? This metaverse push and the way the industry is working.
Satya already said, buy whatever you want. If it's super massive, like in the billions and billions, run it by me, please. He didn't say.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
He really did.
No, he didn't. Going. But I'm saying, like, there was a moment where Phil had to convince Satya that Satya said to him, look, there's this place where we don't need to be at. Phil said there we should, and here are the reasons why. And now he's verified that that's it, because the metaverse push is a smart play. Consumer habits and how the future landscape of how we all absorb content, gaming is key in that space. And so Microsoft has been money, and also mindshare, and we're plugged in. This is a dystopian future, but with Satya in this place now, with his teeth, Microsoft are not messing around, and people know that. And you can see this is why people come at you so rawly. All the narratives, almost every single one, has been destroyed, except sad dad single player, the AAA third person game. Give us that, then what happens?
It's not about me being Nostradamus or predicting or having insider knowledge whatsoever. I just try and think of things like reasonably, and I really feel like a lot of fans that we talk to, the fanboys, right? They don't think logically. They're thinking what's going to push their agenda forward, and those narratives die because PlayStation is backtracked and they've changed their approach, and Xbox is going to just make a whole bunch of games. But that wait really sucks, especially for us. You know, oh, there's a brood mother. Oh gosh, the grounded footage is playing. Gosh dang, the game is so good. I can't wait to talk more about it. But
what is it with these spiders, by the way? Because me and my friend played it and it terrified us. It's something the way it's animated. It's terrifying.
Well, they did the skittish thing. Like they skitter and scatter. Like
that's like, it.
They've done their homework. And I'm interviewing one of the leads at Obsidian tomorrow. I'm gonna ask him about how they got this, because they nail it. The spiders don't look like Shelob in Lord of the Rings. They look less, what's the word you always say that when someone's like kind of scaring you or getting in your face, what's the word you always use, in something,
right?
Intrusive. I don't know what the word you use. Anyway, it's a great game. It's a great game. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not even going to chase the word, but let me read a couple supers here. Zatanna Bathory says, thank you so much for the super. Says, WB and DC have been going downhill. Hopefully Xbox picks them up. NetherRealm Mortal Kombat on Xbox with Killer Instinct and the backing of Microsoft Wallet. Can I get a sauce? I've talked about that too. Can you imagine Mortal Kombat plus Killer Instinct the game? Or Mortal Kombat v Killer Instinct the game with NetherRealm and... just let NetherRealm work on the Killer Instinct part. Do it all.
I think someone actually alluded to that as well, from Ed Boon, maybe. He was just like, kind of like toyed around with the idea. That would be amazing. I mean, I saw Tekken 8's trailer, which was amazing, and Sony State of Play was really good. The backgrounds in the Unreal Engine 5 and everything was deforming. Killer Instinct would kill that with all the deformations and stuff with the music as you pull out an ultra. Oh man, it would be amazing.
Yeah, Killer Instinct's like 7-8 years old now, so it needs a resurgence. I'm not a big fighting person. Like somebody asked me, what are your top five fighting games? I'm like, Street Fighter 2. But I'm not like most people. Hargeet Chani has some knowledge here with a $5 super chat. He says, this whole thing not being able to buy a Japanese company is bunk. Any company doing business in Japan has a subsidiary there, including Microsoft.
Thank you, Hoggy. I'm pretty sure that's nonsense, but I don't have anything to back up. But Hoggy
knows
this stuff.
They can't buy Capcom, their Japanese company. They can't buy From Software because PlayStation owns majority share. They get that one too, right?
Yeah, I mean, Embracer's ones like definitely got rid of their Western studios, but they're still associated with. So I'm like, but I don't think so. Well, I'll take Hargeet on his word as opposed to his conspiracy.
I will too. I mean, Hargeet's been responsible for me coming up with some crazy outside the box thinking. And if you have to know Hargeet, he's been around long enough and looked into major business happenings.
Harvard,
on.
Man. Respect. Put respect on that name.
Yep. Yeah, we respect Hargeet, and we like him, and we're going to hang out at E3. Risk it for the biscuit. Thank you so much for the $8 Australian dollar. What do they call the dollar in Australia? The dollar?
They call it a dollar, yeah.
Okay. He says, think tech when you think acquisitions. Capcom is a much better option. The RE engine plus all the IPs. RE engine's awesome. Risk it says, the RE engine plus all IPs. They'll go after tech and IP. So Riskit's saying, guys, don't think of it as studios and don't think of it as exclusive. Just think about tech and the IPs that come with it. Because when we say IPs, we don't mean
talent.
Yeah, we don't think, when we say IPs, we're not thinking Captain America and Noid from Domino's. We're talking about studios that have their own IPs, like Monster or whatever.
Capcom is going to be very expensive after Monster Hunter World did big numbers and Resident Evil. So
yeah, I don't
whether
think
they
so.
Even want to sell is one thing, but I will say I would prefer if PlayStation got Capcom. Look, man, PlayStation would be so cool if they had Capcom. The competition would be raw. They would be so raw. I don't think it's happening, but it could happen. And I would prefer. Look, I'm all for competition, man.
Yeah.
And I think Sony, I think Sony deserve it. I don't know why.
There's a bunch.
Synergy.
There's a bunch of games that I really like from Capcom.
Shut up, Gaz.
Shut up, Gaz. Hey, hit the like button if you're having a good time. We have 350-some likes. We get 7 more, I think, if you're enjoying the show. Let me make sure I've got it all. Let's have fun for a second. PlayStation fans, PlayStation diehards are canceling their pre-order to Call of Duty because they say it's trash and they want to stick it to Microsoft. But Gaz, I think, guess what? Jim Ryan just told you, if you cancel your pre-order for Call of Duty, you're hurting them more than anybody else.
Yeah, it's true. Are you going to hurt? Yeah, I saw a lot of it. A lot of it was fake nonsense. Some people, genuine fans, that I know there are PlayStation fans who are annoyed at. I can recognize genuine frustrations about, one, they're talking about the things that I picked up on as well, and it's genuine. Then they've spent a lot of time on the beta, but vast majority of the people saying who said they cancel their COD have also said when it goes to Xbox they will never buy it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, what do you say for that? Like, what do you say to that? Like, don't be a melt. That's what you are.
It's not happening.
You're a melt if you've done that.
I mean, PlayStation and Sony are begging Xbox to keep Call of Duty on their platform or else they're going to lose their shorts. And if you guys start canceling your pre-orders, it's going to hurt.
That was brilliant. That was such a good tweet. I'm proud of you, tweet. The awful tweet of you, Colt, for that tweet.
The one time you were proud of my tweet. The one time that I didn't just end myself on a bad take.
He's a liability on Twitter, but when he does deliver, he does the sauce so well. That was such a perfect tweet.
We are working on killing the be nice thing in our own special way, but I don't know. Let me talk about Grounded for just a second here. You guys don't understand this game. It looks unassuming. It really does. And once you're on the ground floor as an 1/8 inch tall or 15 centimeter tall human being, the yard is a very scary place to be, even with your closest friends. I really feel like I'm reading a script, but this is just coming off the top of my head because I've been playing the game for over 400 hours. I played the majority of it with my 2 kids. I've said it's on the show before. When we play on Party Chat, we're in 3 separate rooms, headsets on. I really, really feel like I'm in this yard trying to stay alive with my kids. We bond, we yell, we argue at each other, we laugh, we victory triumphant. My kids are very, very smart, and the way we work together, it's amazing. You can build in the world. You have to grab everything and figure out how it works together to create things. My son will say, I'm going to go over and get this and this and this and this and bring it back. And my daughter's like, I'll go get those things and those things. And then I'll set up the blueprints and we start building this massive complex. The game is very difficult. It's got RPG elements where you have tiered weapons and tiered armor. So you get this like Skyrim feeling in the game. Your character has these RPG level ups. It's really great. It's set in the mid-80s. You're 4 teenagers that found themselves woken up as completely shrunken. They don't know where they are. They don't know how to get home. The news has reported they're missing. It's fantastic. It's such
a
great
game. Is more because you play with your kids. Do you think like adults can play this?
Absolutely. I started playing the game because Assassin Lupa, who is a bit older than I am, was playing it by herself and loved it to death and rambled on and on about how to play the game. So I was like, oh, my kids and I tried it and we only have these 2 items and we can't do anything. We can't get anywhere. She's like, you have to do this and this to get this and you have to do this and this to get that. And if you don't want to die from these things, you have to do these things. I'm like, wow, that's really crazy. The game is fantastic. You basically have like 5 dungeons you have to go through that are very frightful and very, like, it's very high risk. The game's fantastic. Right now, let's check it on Metacritic. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll check the Metacritic score.
It's 81. It's reviewing quite well, but there's only a handful of reviews.
Let's see. I mean, this morning, the reviews are coming in. There's still only 13. It's an 81 on Xbox. The game is identical on the PC. I can attest to that. I've also played it there. It is an 84, so it sits in an 82 or 83 Metacritic, which, Gaz, are you ready for this? It puts it, well, I mean, there's hardly any reviews, but right now it's sitting right around Ghost of Tsushima and Halo 5, or, you know, it's like that. So, yeah, when I see these spiders. I get like itchy. I've been playing the game in review mode, the full version with all of the extra production with Randall Thor almost every night. Got to a point where I said, Rand, I can't play with you anymore. We're about to go to the end part. My kids and I haven't seen it. Rand's like, the game is so creepy. Rand says, he's the same as me, but we hate spiders, but we're really curious about learning about them. And the wolf spiders do this thing where they put their arms up like this when they see you. They get, there's that word I need from you. They get, it's doing it right now on the screen, but they get up on
You got arachnophobia.
I got a little bit of arachnophobia, but I'll squash them. I do this thing where I take a Kleenex and I smash them, and then I crumble it in my hand, I throw it in the toilet, and I flush, and I say, tell all your friends about me. I do it all the time. I say it every time.
I am the opposite. I would literally pick them out. I can't hurt them. They're so cute. They're so tiny little things. So.
Yeah. They're so scary. And Rand said that he's different. Looked into spiders, and they actually raise up and get bigger when they feel like they're threatened, so that you can see how big they are, and then you can see their fangs. And then the bonus of that is they can bring those hands down on their prey and pin them and bite down like Gaz does on a hamburger from DoorDash. It's it's awesome. I expect the game to land somewhere around an 82 meta by the time all the reviews come in, and I think we're going to see a very hot month or so, at least, on Twitch. I think people are going to be sharing their experience, what they're building, and how they survive, and the predicaments they get into. I think it's going to be one of those things like, here's this little game that kind of won people over, I'm hoping. What do you think when you see his footage, Gaz?
It looks like a lot of fun. And someone in chat said, Happy Bomb says, so cute until they crawl in your mouth while you're sleeping. I have woken up to a giant spider on my mouth. Like, yo! I still did thought, I can't crush it. But I see this gameplay. One, I have to say, the art style is just beaming with character. It's very nice. I mean, graphically, it's quite nice. Like, it's not the
lighting.
Stunner, like,
the lighting is freaking fantastic. Yeah.
Lighting looks beautiful. Visually, it looks really nice. I played it in early access. Me and my friend Sam, we didn't know what we were doing very early when it just came out. And we kind of was hooking us. Like, we just didn't have direction. But if we played with you, it'd be a lot of fun. I think we need to do that.
The game kind of pushes you in the direction you're supposed to do. So all this stuff was not fleshed out, and the community has really provided a lot of stuff. And Obsidian has said, like, they've gotten lots of ideas from the community about how to improve the game, but then they're like, that makes it not fun. You know, you take this out or you add this, and it sort of breaks the game as far as where they want to go. But right now it's really good. I think Rand and I put some 30 hours into it. Rand was pushing me to just go and do the missions. I'm like, Rand, we can't. We need to spend tonight going killing certain bugs, crafting our gear, building up our house. He did not want to build the complex. So Rand and I have this little square hut made out of grass, and all of our equipment's just laying on the floor. There's nowhere to walk. And in contrast, my kids and I have a huge complex, like 20 times bigger. So
really,
the game has
things. How long will it take me to get into it in an appreciable thing? This is my thing. Like, how long do I have to spend to get a decent amount in this game? Because these games are time sinks.
Well, I mean, you'd probably have to play the game for 4 or 5 hours with me or with somebody that really likes the game. But
that's all right.
But you go and do these things, and the way that you progress your character, they've got these things that, like, they dangle out in front of you. If you go find these, you can make your character stronger or better or faster or less prone to the survival problems. And it's just really fantastic. And it's got so much charm, and you're just afraid. Like, if it's evening and my son's like, hey, go grab some stuff, and I go out alone, even though he could be 20 feet behind me or 20 centimeters, I'm like, oh gosh, you know, something will bite you in the back. You're first person. You feel like something's getting you. It's great. The game's great. So I'm curious to see how everybody handles it. Please download it and give it a try. It's on Game Pass, and Obsidian is magical. So I'll try and get some info out of them about, like, how they approach their stuff. But that's Grounded. I didn't want to talk about it too much, but Gaz, did you have fun tonight?
I always have fun. I always have fun. And you got Cyberpunk footage. I love this new overlay, by the way. Shout out to everyone in chat. You guys are amazing, by the way. I had a great time. I think it's fun to talk about random things. I like anime and life. But it's like family. Like, how often do we get to chill, all of us? Yeah, so that's my attitude to it. So I am really grateful. I feel humbled that 600 absolute psychopaths would listen to me talk and us talk and just do our silly things. I'm humbled and just love it. It's just like a special thing.
Yeah, and I keep an eye on the chat, and like, you guys, you just get it. You know, guys and girls here in the chat, I see the responses to some of the stuff that we're speculating or that we're trying to analyze, and they get it. It's really, so really cool.
Do you imagine what I do? Like, these 600 people, everyone in chat, like, we're just chilling, like, in this massive field. We're just talking. That's what it feels like to me, man. Everyone's like, it's just nice. It's just cool. I love it. Sorry, I'm going on a tangent again.
No, no, it's super good. This is episode 70. I've been running the show for about a year and a half, and I feel like sometimes I'm still trying to figure it out, but I really appreciate everybody for checking it out. This is on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and a couple other places where you can listen on demand. And the show goes up there a couple hours after it's been live with the new setup. But yeah, we really appreciate it. I've also got the Patreon. If you join the Patreon, I have a tier where we can hang out in the club. We're, like I said, we're playing games. We're sometimes we just sit back and talk. I'll sit back on this couch and we'll be in party chat for like 2 hours. And talk to me about YouTube stuff. Talk to me about what you think's going on in the news. Or let's just laugh and make fun of Gaz when he's not there. It'd be great. We love it.
You know, thank you. Thank you all. Please do check out Game On Daily, one word, for the YouTube channel. Push the boundaries of what's acceptable. The next one will do that. The next Source video, where we don't hold back on critiquing on people, the Fire Brigade were called. If you follow me on Twitter, you will see what happened. It got messy. Okay, I'll give you a quick sneak peek. It's just so hilarious. Like, I'm not making this up. Well, you saw the video. But what happened was, we were... okay, this is going to sound weird. All of us were chilling. We had a smoke machine. We had Requiem for Dreams soundtrack playing, which is a messed up movie, but there's a techno song. Got guy in a pony hat. We got Safe dressed as a PlayStation exec with fake cocaine all over his face. It's flour. It's just a mountain of it. And we didn't realize because the music is blaring so loud that the alarm's going off. And we're like, and the fireman has come in through the back because the sliding door was open. He's climbed over the fence and he comes open. He just opens the curtain and he goes, And in mid-dance, he's just pony dancing. There's me dancing and the camera there. I'm dancing with a camera.
Wait, hold on. Did he go, which one of you ordered a fire?
No, it wasn't a porn flick, man. Although the camera and lighting gave that impression. And
any of you boys want the smoke?
It was fake flour. Honestly, there's mountains of it.
So a testament to what you do in this space. Nobody's got the fire brigade breaking down their back door. Except for Gaz.
You did that.
Wow. You got so mad. I know not a lot of people are on Twitter, but Gaz and I have fun on there, and he talked about these firefighters. He had a short video of them when they came in. They were totally cool. So follow him on Twitter. His link is in the description. You can go see his tweet from a day and a half ago. I found a picture of like a stripper firefighter with his shirt off, and I put the Sauce logo on his chest. And Gaz was like, oh, gosh. But we had fun. But shout out to you, Gaz, for doing what you do, you know, like going crazy. Almost getting yourself in trouble, throwing out like firecrackers and smoke bombs out under bridges just for the Sauce. We freaking love what you do.
You almost got arrested with that, on that one, but less said about the better. We have to go hard. You have to go hard in this space to be just have fun. But thank you, man.
Let me read one more super chat from David Kirchhoff. Thank you for the €5. Says, do you think if the FTC approved the ABK, the Activision deal, without restrictions, Microsoft will pull Call of Duty from PlayStation.
After 5 years, they will.
You think they will or could?
They could, I'm still, unless you have an appetite to renew it. But we don't know. It depends on where Call of Duty is.
Happy Bomb wants to hear the rest of the story when the fireman came in. Because it was not a good look. Not a good look. Go ahead.
All the neighbors are out because there's all this massive fire truck is outside. And so the guy at the back who comes climbing goes, open the front door. Like, I'll be scared. Like, what the flip is going on? Obviously, now we can hear the fire alarm because the music's turned out. Open the door, and it's that video. Well, I tried to hide it too much, and I'll show it in my source video. And just like, I was like, yo, there were four of them. Like, just guys looking like, what are you doing? Like, yo, man, we're just making a video. It's just a smoke machine. They're like, what? I don't know, what you do? We're like, YouTube video. And they're just asking about my YouTube channel. I'm like, oh, man. As they were there, the smoke machine went off again, just without pressing the button. And the guy's like, mate. And the fire alarm went off again. And
what time was it at night?
It was like near midnight. It was pretty bad.
Oh, my God.
Bro,
oh
man,
my gosh.
You guys don't understand how much coordination, even on things like that. I'm trying to make it more professional as well, the videos. The next one, the cinematography isn't key because I need to buy new lighting sets and stuff. There's a lot, lot of expenditure.
Hey, hold on. You left out. I don't know if you punctuated this enough, but A2 in the chat says, with powder on your face and someone with a rubber pony mask on as well, like,
bro,
you know,
so
hip thrusting
funny.
With safe.
He could have come at a funnier time because he comes through, and as he do it, I take a line off the fake cocaine off the pony head, and I'm just like, we're filming it, and the camera's like selfie mode. You'll see in the source video, the only problem is, we just stopped recording. I should have had the foresight to carry on recording. I hit record again.
Oh, yeah.
But
you're
so
totally derailed, man. You have to be so derailed.
To record
how you think
it, and
of
I said,
it.
No, I'm not recording. But actually, it was recording. It was a bit cheeky.
Did Pixel Slapper says, did they bring their hoses in? They're like, which one of y'all are some firefighters?
Bro, the amount of times we got into trouble for source videos is,
you know, how weird it was, how weird it was to hear firefighters like speak with a British accent, because like I've only ever heard them, they're like, hey, you guys have a fire over here, and that's not how they sound. I was like, well, that's I'm not used to that.
Oh no, they were really
which
chill.
Which one you ordered a nice fire snuffer? Yeah.
Freaking, they're really nice. They're really
that's
nice.
So amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. Yeah.
Messy.
Yeah, but I guess watch out for, I don't know what in the world I'm working on next, but thank you everybody for supporting the show and support what we do. And there are over 500 people here listening to Gaz talk about how he almost went to the brig. We appreciate it a lot. We're going to get out of here super late.
If the police came in, we'd be in trouble. If the police was there, then we were in trouble. How do you explain the coke? Well, it's not coke. Flour. Like,
they do that thing they do on the TV shows. See if this is 100% street value or whatever they say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's true. Gold. It's gold bond medicated ointment powder. So, yeah, it's a. Yeah, that's good stuff, man. I really appreciate it. We're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for checking out the show. We got 400 likes. Thanks for doing everything, for being here and being here for the show we're going to see on next week. So thanks, everybody. We're going to get out. Later.
Peace. I'm naked again.